certainly do appreciate that song. Surely fitted to the thoughts that's been upon our hearts. I appreciate that a sight. I do. Good to be back in the Lord's house, as we've already said. Look with me, if you will, in 1 Peter, the 4th chapter. 1 Peter, the 4th chapter. Been here quite a bit of late, but still don't know that we'll get to the depths of what's upon our heart in this. As we have said lots of times, we may have a thought and we may have scripture, but it still takes the Lord to send an anointing. Without that, there's nothing accomplished. 1 Peter, the 4th chapter, if you can rest from your seats, it would be nice. If you can't, the Lord knows and certainly understands. 4th chapter, 1 Peter. The Bible says, for as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, for he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Who shall give an account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh who live according to God in the Spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober, and watch unto prayer. And above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover a multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. You may be seated. Tremendous amount of scripture, without a doubt. I believe every time we look through this scripture, it seems as if there's something else that just wants to leap off the page and speak to us. I just hope and pray that the Lord would be our helper here for a few minutes this evening as we look at the Word of God, and by His help, I pray, by His help, be able to rightly divide this and look at it. I've had several different thoughts concerning this scripture as far as even just one or two verses of it, but there is, if you will, so much, and we'll try to cover it as well as the Lord will let us. Starting, let's just, if we can go verse by verse for a while, we may skip a few verses, but for as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself likewise with the same mind. Now, this for as much, for this reason, because of, but he says, for as much then as Christ has suffered for us. Now, without a shadow of a doubt, Jesus didn't of his own self warrant anything to suffer for. He was perfect. He, in all honesty, of his life in this world, it's sin that brings hurt. It's sin that brings pain. It's sin that brings the confusion of mind. It's sin that brings the breaking down of life, if you will. And Jesus was perfect. But it says here that he suffered, and we all know how that Jesus suffered. We've all studied, if you will, the sufferings of Christ, and Paul even desired to know him in the fellowship of these sufferings. But Christ, he suffered, but he suffered for us. Think on this. He suffered, but he suffered for us. Now, I assure you that if we run into something in our life, if you sit down on the couch, if you, my friend, walk across the floor and you find some discomfort, whether it's in something you step on, something you sit on, something you eat to make, if there's some suffering starts into this body, whether it's a headache, whether it's a backache, and no matter what it is, when there's a suffering that starts to this body, we're pretty quick many times to find us a remedy to get rid of the sufferings. We don't like to, if you will, endure any type of heartache or sorrow to this life. Many times we will purposely do our best to live at ease. And listen, we're all creatures of the same cloth, I promise you. We are them who enjoy the path of least resistance. But Jesus suffered for us. Lots of times if we get heartbroken or we get upset, we want to know, well, why? Why am I having to go through this? Why do I have to endure this? Why do I have... Listen and understand and know this. We deserve anything that comes our way. We do. We don't get to the place, if you will, well, the arrogancy of this statement. Well, you know, I deserve this. Thank God we didn't get what we deserved. And so many times I fear because we think we shouldn't have to suffer because this one over here is not suffering. This one over here don't ever have to worry about that. This one over here don't ever have to deal with this. Why am I having to deal with this? Jesus suffered for us. And he told us to arm ourselves. Listen to the Bible. He says, has suffered for us, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, with the same way of thinking, with the same conscience, if you will, to arm ourselves, equip us, put to ourselves that we need. Now let me tell you something. You're not going to find by nature of your old man the ability to suffer like a Christian. It doesn't exist in the flesh. Oh, I've seen and I've noticed self-righteous people are trying to show sufferings to no avail to the power of God. But I promise you this. I have seen the children of God patiently endure hardness as a good soldier, and I've seen them flourish under the power of God. But when we look and see what we're having to face, what we're up against, and why am I having to face this? Why do I have to go, this one don't suffer that. That one don't suffer this. And we wonder what we are going through and why. God has told us to arm ourselves with the same way of thinking. What were some of the greatest words Jesus said on Calvary? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. There's lots of times in people's lives that you might find it offensive, but listen to me very closely. Listen to me very, very closely. I didn't know we'd get into this. I'm just going here to follow God. Listen to me very closely. They sometimes, we might think, well, he said this and it's hurt me. Listen to me very closely. If somebody purposely offends you, it ought to make you feel very sorry for that person. Don't get mad at them. Don't get offended at them. There's no way they possibly know what they're doing. Why? It would take a very ignorant person to offend a child of God. Amen? What did Jesus say about that? Jesus said it'd be better that a millstone was hanged about their neck and they was cast into the depths of the sea than to offend one of his children. Well now, preacher, it doesn't say his children. It says little children. Well, let me tell you something, friend. He called us the apple of his eye. And I firmly believe when I read that scripture that he was speaking about his children. But that was a baby. It was, listen to me very closely. If somebody can offend an innocent child, I promise you they ain't got no problem offending a child of God at the house of God. So arm yourselves in the same thinking. And get to the place where that if offenses do come, and he said they would, but he said, woe unto him by whom the offense cometh. You don't have to mete out any judgment. You and I don't have to mete out any sentence. God will take care of it. He's God.
All we got to do is serve and magnify. Arm yourself. Equip yourself. Pull it to you. Acquire it. Put it on. Have it at your ready. Be armed with the same way of thinking as Jesus did.
Heaven help us. I need to get on down through here. He says, "For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin."
I can promise you this, friend. When you understand how bad it is to be hurt at heart by somebody, listen to me closely. When you understand, when your heart, when your soul understands what it's like to be offended in Christ, you're never going to want to be one of those offenders. Are you with me? Although sometimes your fleshly feelings get hurt, and I don't feel sorry for you because I don't feel sorry for me. I've seen people walk around with their chip on their shoulder and they're just waiting for somebody to knock it off. Understand this. My friend, if you get offended at heart, it hurts. I've been there. I know. It hurts. And once this has occurred in your life, because you have suffered due to that, you're not going to be very ready to offend somebody else. Why? Because you're going to know how it feels. You're going to understand what it's like to have a broken heart. By them, my friend, is Jesus. And when it was said over there, what happened to your hands? Those happened to me of them of whom I went up to the house of God with. Oh, my goodness gracious. It's one thing when somebody doesn't know any better or is not supposed to know any better and they bring offenses. But I can promise you this, when them that are of supposedly the brethren, supposedly them that's been washed in the blood, when they can be so offensive at heart, mind, body, and soul, let me tell you something, that hurts. That'll cause us, I believe, to remember to keep us from being so offensive. Listen on. That he no longer should live the rest of his time to the flesh, to the lust of men, but to the will of God. Amen, my goodness. Carry on for Jesus. Is that not the truth? Is that not the song we just sung? That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. That ought to be the number one priority in every one of our lives. It's not to try to satisfy man. From the man in the mirror to whoever the man may be, I promise you, you're never, ever going to satisfy him. But I tell you, we need to live to please God. Let us run. Listen on. For the time past of our life will suffice us who have wrought the will of the Gentiles. Amen. Every last one of us. Listen to me. We've lived long enough to ourselves. We've lived long enough to ourselves. When was we seriously, the last time that you can remember, heartbroken, sorrowful at heart and soul for somebody at the house of God? It is amazing to me, my friend, at how we say we're aware of somebody's spiritual condition, but there's never no weeping. There's never no wailing. There's never no burden. There's never a desire to see something change spiritually in their lives. I don't want a diagnosis without a medicine, do you? I don't want to go to the doctor and say, "Oh, yeah, son, you've got it. You've got it. What can you?" I can't do nothing. It's easy for this world to look like children of God. You and I in this world are the ones that can get a hold of God to see something change. God help us to do so. God help us to have it upon our heart. Listen on. He says, when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. Well, preacher, I never done none of that. That's the problem. You've done every bit of it. Well, no, preacher. Oh, yes, you have. Because it wasn't an idolatry that this world might call idolatry. If it took any more precedence in your life than God did, it's an idol. I don't care what it is. I don't even care if it's religious rhetoric. Saul of Tarsus had an idol in his life. It was the law. And he lived by it to keep it. And it was an idol to him. And he bowed down, but well, preacher, listen to me. Christ had come, and he was still serving the law. Christ fulfilled it, and he was still serving the law. Understand this, my friend. When people in this world has anything in front of their lives that takes the precedence of Christ, of God, the Messiah, the power of His Spirit ruling, you've got an idol.
Yes.
You've got an idol and you serve it. And this lasciviousness, this lust, listen on. He says, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. They are people that absolutely think that we should run to the same excesses that they're running to, and if you don't run to it, then you're evil. What's wrong with you? Don't you care? What's wrong with you? Aren't you concerned? What's got a hold of you? Listen to me. Understand something. I understand dangers, traumas, and trials. They're out there on every side. But know this. Know this. God is God every day this world ever stands. And it's very important. It is very important, my friend, that we live by the leadership of the Spirit of God. Listen to me. Let me say this again. It is vital. It is highly. It is of the utmost importance that we live by the leadership of the Spirit of God. Why, preacher? They that are led of the Spirit of God are the sons of God indeed.
Yes.
If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Friend, they ought to be events in our lives weekly, daily, that we know that the Spirit of God has spoke to us, led us and guided us, and is that everlasting companion yoked up in our heart. It ought to be very accustomed, my friend, for a conversation of our heart and God every day. Not going through a religious rhetoric, but I mean being led by God. To think right when nobody else is looking. To act right when nobody else is acting around you the right way. May we be able to sequester our lives and live by the leadership of the Spirit of God. I need to hurry. Listen on. This is the Bible. This is not something I'm adding to or taking from. He says, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you, who shall give an account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead. Now, who is this? Everybody. And who's the judge? His name is Christ. And what's he judging? The quick and the dead. What's the quick and the dead? The quick doesn't mean fast here as in rapidness, but this quick means alive. This quick means made alive. This quick means full of feeling, if you will. You ever cut your finger down to the quick? Ain't no shadow of a doubt there's some nerve endings down there, right? Well, the dead don't have any nerve endings. They're cold-hearted. They're dead. They may act like they feel. They may want to sound like they feel. They may even want to be seen like they feel, but they don't feel. But God is ready to judge the quick and the dead. He's ready right now. Our time is always before Him. He sees the past as well as He sees the future, just like He sees right now. He's ready to judge. And He knows the true judgment. Listen on. He says, for this cause. Now listen, since He's ready now to judge the quick and the dead, this is the Bible. Listen to what the Bible says. He said, for this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead. Well, what's the Bible saying there, preacher? He preached the gospel to them that were dead. He's preached the gospel to them that are dead today. And they didn't hear it. And they weren't going to hear it. But they still got the gospel preached to them. Why? What does the book say? The Bible says this. For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead.
Listen to this. That they might be judged. Now, how is this judgment taking place? Look at what the Bible says. It says, according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. You remember a while ago when we said that it's highly and vitally and most important that you are able to be led by the Spirit. Friend, if you're hearing the gospel, if the Word of God lives in you, if the power of God moves your soul, and my friend, if it directs your life, if it causes you to raise the mainsail or strike anchor, if your life is moved by the Spirit of God, your life is an able living example of the righteous judgment of God upon them who refuse to hear the Word. Now, how important is your life? How important is it that we be led by the Spirit? How important, how vitally important is it that we yield our lives completely to the Spirit of God? Because God has sent His Word to the dead and to the living, but that He might judge the dead by them that have heard and obeyed the gospel by the Spirit. So what are you saying here, preacher? What's that? Listen to this. In that great and noble day of God, the dead will be there. And the living will be there. And the living is an example of them that heard and believed and obeyed the Word of God. And God can say, that one heard it, and that one lived it, and obeyed it in his life, while he had the treasure in an earthen vessel. Listen to the Bible. This is the book. He says, for this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged, the dead, according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. Children, your life, by the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit of God, when He came and made His abode with you after the day of your salvation, your life, your very existence in this world, as the Word of God is preached to us, children, we must live by it. We must be led by it. It's the very testimony of Christ in this life. And without it, you're just another churchgoer. I promise you, them that hate the house of God, we know they're going to hell. But what about them who sit on the pew week in, week out? How about them that even throw money into the offering plate? How about them who call themselves preachers, teachers, and deacons, and Sunday school superintendents? What about them? This world's full of them that are lost. They don't know God. That's why it's vitally important, children of God, that we be led by the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God is going to make manifest of who? God. Not us, not our name, not what we're having to suffer through, not the persecutions. We're to arm ourselves. We're to understand, not my will, but thine be done. We're to have the same mind of Christ living in us so that we can endure these sufferings, so that we can still shine as lights in a dark world, so we can still walk through fire and not smell like smoke, because we sleep in a den of lions, but yet we have a testimony of the Almighty Living God alive and well in our soul. How vitally important. Can you look back, when was the last time you know, nobody else around, just you and God. You know, you can say for yourself and not another, nobody else around but you and God, now God, you led me right here. How long's that been? It better not have been last year. It better not have been 6 months ago. It better not have been last month. It better not have been last week. Oh, it ought to be fresh in your mind. Why, preacher? Because he's to be your beloved. Yes. You got married to him, remember? Or have you been in love with another? And lo and behold, it's an idol. And you didn't even realize it. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
God, help my life. God, help my soul. That I know that I can remember days and hours and moments. And my friend, throughout the day, that His Spirit came by and nudged me in the right direction. Why? Because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Oh, God, help me. Listen on just a little further. He says, but live according to God in the Spirit. Oh, that we had a world filled with that today. He said, but the end of all things is at hand. Amen. Amen. And I can promise you this. In this book that He is encouraging us to arm ourselves to suffer like Christ did. When did Christ do His most sufferings? When did He do His greatest sufferings? Well, I tell you what, I'm on the Christian road. I hope you are. I anticipate that the farther I go, Brother Jason, the more I'm going to have to suffer. The further Jesus went, the further He had to suffer. What's the last thing He had to drink? Vinegar. What was the last meal He ate? Bread and water. Bread and wine. And there's the devil sitting there too. He still fed Him. Am I being led by the Spirit of God? I tell you what, there's some people we will erase off the very menu of being worthy to sit in our presence in the power of God. You know what you might as well do? Strike a line through your name. Because I can promise you this, my friend. It is God. It is God that justifieth. It is the law that condemneth. And we were all condemned. Right. Every last one of us. But it was Him that came to where I was. Amen. Where you were. And justified you. Amen. Sanctified you. Wrote your name in His book. Let me run along. I've got more to go and I won't get to it. He said, but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober. Sober. Now what does this word sober mean? I don't know about you, but there's been times in Mike Freeman's life that Mike Freeman was drunk on Mike Freeman. You've been drunk on yourself too, if you didn't know it, but you have. But it's good when the light of the glorious gospel of Christ turns the light on in the room, because you and I have been living in darkness, and the first thing it causes you to do is squinch a little bit. Where's this great light? And it gets us out of our comfortable place of sin and makes us begin to move about and see what condition we're really in. Thank God for Him coming by and sobering me up. There's people who get intoxicated on their troubles. They get intoxicated upon the things that's coming upon their lives in this world. They're drunken by them. What does an alcoholic do? He wants to continually fill his body with that poison. He don't know when to stop an alcoholic drink till he's dead. I've seen it happen to many of them. I fear there's some who absolutely intoxicate their minds with the issues of life, when we need to stop and be sober. Stop. Sober yourself up on the Word of God. Quicken yourself like men. And see, where am I really at, God? Am I really being led by Your Spirit? Or is it just religious ideas that I've been indoctrinated with throughout time? Or is it Your power that moves my soul? Oh, heaven help me. Listen on. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Watch unto prayer. This just come to my mind. I'm not trying to be funny. But I remember sometimes growing up around the house. It might be the Lawrence Welk show, or it might be Gunsmoke, or some type of television show would be on. And if you walk too slow in front of that TV, you would hear the man in the house say, get out of my lap. You may have heard the same thing. But what had happened was that their lives were so in tune with what was on TV, when somebody walked in front of it, it bothered them. Get out of my lap. I'm watching it. And then sometimes I've seen people sit down at movies. My friend, they'll suffer their bodies. They don't want to miss a minute of it. They got to be right there for the whole thing. They're afraid they're going to miss something. We got a routine prayer. We go through a routine ritual. And we'll say we talk to God. And we didn't a bit more change our lives from the time we went to our prayer room, from the time we left. We went there in the same condition we left in. We left in the same condition we arrived in. Nothing happened if you watch in the prayer free. Hey, your eye, your heart, your mind, your body, your soul is going to be attentive unto what the conversation of prayer brings forth. It's not just my words to God, but what has God got to say to me? What's going on in my soul in His presence? But there's many people will go through their prayer rituals. But what's the difference in crying all day long and God never answering and Baal's prophets? Did not they not do the same thing? They cut themselves. What did the man of God do? If my mind serves me right, he prayed 66 words and fire fell out of heaven. Fire. A literal burning fire fell out of heaven. Consumed the sacrifice. Licked the water up out of the trench. My friend, the power of God fell. Church, you've got the same power. He was a man subject to like passions as we are. The Bible teaches us this. If you're a child of God, if we're a child of God, we have the same power. How we need to look at our prayer life. And am I really praying like God would have me pray? I tell you what, and I've told you this in the past, in the last few weeks, this has truly overhauled my prayer life. It has. I hope you can tell in the preaching. I hope you can tell in me as a person. If not, I want to pray till you do. Preacher, that you trying? I want you to understand. I don't want you having religious rhetorics of Mike Freeman. I want you to have power of God in your heart. Why, preacher? We're all right. Everything. I want my friend, when sinners walk through that door, they either got to get in or get out. That you're so full of God. You got so much power. You got so much running. You can't keep your seat. That our sequestered religion gets thrown to the pile. And the leadership of God's Spirit rules the day. The leadership of God's Spirit should rule our day. Listen on, I need to hurry. He says, and this is the verse that I've been trying to get to and has been on my heart so much. He says, and above all things, now, you've heard what all we've preached about. He's talking about the sufferings of Christ, and Christ suffered for us. He's been teaching to us and speaking to us and written in us of what we used to be and how that God's delivered us from it and how that the Spirit of God is what we ought to follow. And now that he gets down to this, and he's told us that the end of all things is at hand, but he says, and above all things, have fervent charity. Have fervent charity. I tell you what, Jesus Christ was full of fervent charity. He is, if you will, fervent charity. But now Peter, by the hand of God and by the obedience of the Spirit of God, as he has written every bit of this, and he's getting down to the end of this book, and Peter in his mind and his conscience, I'm sure, was not aware that he would yet write 2 Peter. He's still writing 1 Peter. And it's one entire letter, and he's winding it up. And now he gets down to this, the end of all things is at hand. And he says, above all things, have fervent charity. Charity is something that you give away, never expecting to see or hear from it again. Charity is something that you get without desire of recognition, without, my friend, any notoriety coming to you whatsoever. In fact, it's more along these lines. You don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. You don't let one hand know what you just do it for the glory of God. Having fervent charity, you can't help but have a mind of Christ about you. You'll be armed if you are full of fervent charity. Fervent, effectual, fervent, desirous, ready, rapid, quickly, fervent. Fervency, ready to just feverishly work toward it. You know what we'll do? We'll love if we're being loved. We'll pat on the back if we've been patted on the back. We'll encourage if we've been encouraged. I tell you what, my friend, this fervent charity is the love of God given without expecting anything in return. But understand this. Natural, worldly, religion will never have godly charity. As much as false professors cannot mimic the Spirit, a worldly church cannot manifest the charity of God. I like that. Listen to this. As much as those who profess themselves to be saved and cannot manufacture the Spirit of God, so a worldly church or a worldly Christian, they cannot manufacture charity. It's impossible. You cannot possess it. Your flesh will win out every time. But he's saying above, first and foremost, this is of great importance. Above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. Here's where I want to spend just a little bit of time, and I hope that this will sober somebody's heart. It is amazing at how many people can be better to people of the world than they can to the people of their own house of God. That ought to sober somebody up. How do you know, preacher? Because I've seen it. I wouldn't dare ever say anything about it. It wouldn't get me nowhere. Wouldn't dare touch it. But I hope looking in this mirror would turn on a light. When people can be kinder, more sociable, more eloquently toward people of the world, more than they can them of the house of God. And then we're supposed to believe that they know God. They don't, sadly. You know what that is the case of? Listen to me very closely. Listen to me very closely. You know what that is? That is the epitome of the second chapter of 2 Thessalonians. If I'm not mistaken, don't let me misquote it. You can write me down if you will, please, and we'll go back and make sure. But that is the epitome of 2 Thessalonians, 2nd chapter. It might be the 1st chapter. No. It's the 2nd chapter of 2 Thessalonians. But that's speaking about Antichrist, and that's exactly what that is. Where's he at? He's sitting upon the throne of God. Where's the throne of God at? It's right here. And what's he doing? He's opposing and he's exalting himself against anything that is called God. So my friend, these lines that you run into, it is so vitally important that you be led by the Spirit of God, because God, my friend, is going to have soldiers and servants and faithful men and women that he's able to stand up before the lost, my friend, who refuse to obey the truth. See how serious it is? See how important your life is? That you be led by the Spirit. That God rule in your heart. Because it's not about, listen to me, it's not about the friends and the family. Listen to me, let's get real close. It's not about the wife and the husband. It's about our soul and God. And when God gets in his rightful place, the head, and my friend of the body, and everything gets in order, God's able to change some things. but those who are not willing to arm themselves to suffer. And those, my friend, who are not willing to admit that we one time walked in lasciviousness and were idolaters and all of those things. And yet, my friend, we stop to refuse. We need to sober up and have a difference in our prayer life and refuse to put on charity. How dwelleth that love of God in there? I tell you, my friend, by the book, it's not there. By the word of God, not by my opinion, not by something that I would, God forbid, take the precious word of God and twist it and misframe it to fit my agenda. I've sadly seen men do that, and it's a shame. It trembles me. As I would remind you, as I mentioned Sunday, I'm not here just standing before Crossroads Church. I'm standing in the presence of a holy God that I shall give an account for every word that's come out of my mouth. I tell you, it trembles me. It fears me greatly. But I believe God has sent His word to us tonight. I believe God would have us to look not just at it, but look in it. What are you talking about, preacher? Well, it wasn't good enough for them that got to the tomb just to look and see that stone was rolled away. No, I tell you what, they had to go in. I tell you what, I like to get into this book. Why, preacher? Because that book's in me. And they too have fellowship. But listen on. He says, charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover a multitude of sin. I tell you what, when charity's in its rightful place, you know what? Your sin, your sin, your sin, your sin, it ain't any bigger than mine. It'll cover a multitude of sin. And you knew who brings the most to the table? It'd be this fellow right here. And the charity of God covers a multitude of sin. God, help us to see this. Listen on. He says, for charity shall cover a multitude of sin. Use hospitality. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. Listen up, I'll do my best to hurry. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister, the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. It sounds to me like Peter, being a valiant soldier for Christ, it appears to me that he's seeing this thing about to wind up, and he's trying to get, if you will, the very very centermost part of the church attention to being what the church is supposed to be. Because God, the righteous judge, who is ready to judge the quick and the dead, he's going to judge those dead ones. Listen to the book. For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. Now, is your life that you're living going to be able to be held up to them who has refused to hear the word of God? Preacher, I ain't no better than anybody else. In our flesh, we are not. But if you're saved, yes, you are. Why is that, preacher? Because the indwelling in your life is the living Word of God. It is what is where the very operation, if you will, of the Spirit works in our lives. They that are led by the Spirit are the sons of God indeed. This ain't the days of Moses when the high priest went in once every year. We have an high priest that can be touched by the feelings of our infirmities. I would have to say America is pretty numb right now. Why, preacher? Because anything that we're touched with many times does not pertain to the Spirit. But most of what I find, I can say this for me, creeping into my life are those things that affect the outward man. No wonder he told us to arise and shake ourselves from this dust. I'm trying to remember. I can't remember. It was something some older man had said. Something about how men that live such short lives try to, I don't know, put in place things that's going to last them forever. Something along those lines. Please, please, take inventory in every one of your hearts and every one of your lives. May we be sobered. May we get to the place to where that we would arm ourselves, equip us with the mind of Christ for the sufferings that are bound to come upon the children of God. Arm ourselves for that. And then God help us to be able to look and see the difference of where we once were and where we are now. And understand that God expects us to live in a way that He can judge them that refuse to hear Him by. Understand that the end of all things is at hand. And that above all things I'd have fervent charity ready. That I'd use hospitality one to another. That I would be a help spiritually to the house of God. To the degree that heaven would say amen. Hope it's been a help to you.
Trust it's not been scattered.